What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
That song means it's the 3 o'clock hour on the Hockman Crowder and Solana show. Welcome back. A 104.3 WQAM. Appel in for Hawk and Crowder today. Solana and Appel will take you up until 6. Jimmy's here as well. Jimmy's rocking his Real Madrid jersey. Madrid's playing right now, right? Real Madrid? Didn't you tell us they're playing at 3 p.m.?
Yeah, they just started right now.
Who are they playing, Jimmy?
Osasuna.
Wow, look at that. We have a running bit going on here in our WQM studios. Jimmy pretends to love Real Madrid, but he can't pronounce any other team name outside of Real Madrid and Barcelona in Spain. Like, literally cannot pronounce it, but you nailed Osasuna. Well done, man. Well done.
I practice it.
People forget that the Dolphins are playing at Bernabeu Stadium this year.
Yeah, Bernabeu. Yeah, that's right. The Bernabeu.
I practiced learning that name last night.
I'm sure you did. Well done, Jimmy. Well done.
Jimmy, call up Real Madrid.
Jimmy, get on the phone. Call Real Madrid. Call the Bernabeu Stadium and find out where the Dolphins will be practicing. I was talking with Kenny Walker from 102.7 The Beach. He's the Dolphins PA announcer. And he's going to Madrid. Which I'm fascinated by that. I told him, do you need to practice your Spanish? Let me know. But we're going to have, that's another Miami Dolphins first down. The official.
It's a Dolphins home game?
I don't know. It must be. Or he's just the guy. Like, he's the guy that they use for international games. Oh, dude's a legend, man. Kenny Walker's a legend.
Kenny and Footy in the Morning.
You have to appreciate him, right? At Dolphins games, you were a PA announcer yourself at Lone Depot Park.
Yeah, I miss going to the monthly PA announcer meetings that we held here in South Florida with all the PA announcers from all the different teams.
That's right.
I miss those.
That's right. Speaking of Lone Depot Park, I just saw a tweet here that I wanted to run by you because Josh Appel is with us. He'll be on the call, by the way, this Saturday nationally. Dolphins-Jaguars final preseason game. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. And coming up later this hour, Wes Goldberg from Locked On Heat, he's going to join us as well. I just want to get an update on what the Heat have been doing, talk a little bit about Drew Smith getting a contract, Haywood Highsmith getting traded. The official FanDuel account tweeted a couple hours ago. I don't know if you saw this, Appel. The top 5 hitting pitchers of all time. I don't know if this is like a take by them or if there's metrics decided this or if numbers decided this. I don't know because they don't necessarily specify, but this is what they have as the top 5 hitting pitchers of all time. Do you want to guess number 1?
Oh, gosh. I want to guess Dontrell. He's got to be on that list.
Okay, he's on the list. I don't want to ruin it, but he's on the list. That's why I'm bringing this up. But the number 1 hitting pitcher of all time. You know who it is.
Is it Carlos Zambrano?
No, he's playing.
Is he on the list too?
No, he's playing right now. Like, he plays currently. He's active. He's an active pitcher and batter.
Oh, Shohei.
Shohei Ohtani.
What are we doing here?
Yeah. Shohei Ohtani. But that's what I'm saying.
I was thinking like when pitchers actually hit, not this.
Right. No, for sure. For sure. That's why I'm saying I don't know how this is being calculated. If it's just like FanDuel put out a list and they're like, here's our list. But I like the list because Dontrell's on the list. Number 2 is Babe Ruth. Number 3 is Bob Gibson from the Cardinals. They're in town right now, actually. Not that Bob Gibson plays for the Cardinals
I was
currently.
Say, Bob Gibson on the mound tonight.
Mike Hampton, who played for the Astros. Never heard of
and
him.
And the Marlins.
Oh, really?
Marlins. Yeah, Mike Hampton. I believe he signed an astronomically high contract with the Marlins, and then they sold him off.
When was that? Do you remember?
Oh, this was late 90s,
like
early 2000s. I'm looking it up now.
And then number 5 on this list is Dontrell Willis, and they write Dontrell Willis could swing it. And it made me happy that Dontrell Willis was getting love on like this random objective or not objective, subjective list from FanDuel. Love Dontrell
Willis. By the way, Mike Hampton signed an 8-year, $121 million contract with the Rockies. 2 years later, he was traded to the Marlins and then directly to Atlanta. So he wasn't technically here for long enough to be credited with being with the Marlins. It's like almost like a Piazza stint with the Marlins, but even less.
I could watch 03 Marlins highlights every single day, all day. Like, I mean, and there's like this revitalization of like old school Marlins. I don't know if you follow the Legends of Date account on
Instagram. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you brought this up. Man. They put on Instagram yesterday or the day before a 16 strikeout performance by Ricky Nolasco at the old Braves Stadium against Atlanta. He's striking out Chipper Jones and Brian McCann and Matt Diaz. Oh, amazing.
If you
so many great memories.
If you're, you know, a Marlins fan like Appel and I, and you have fond memories of really just like old school Marlins, but specifically 03. They really focus on 03. Like they have interviews with Mike Lowell. Legends of Dade on Instagram, bro. Like they get me jacked up anytime they post something because I could watch 03 Marlins highlights all day.
So nostalgic, really is.
Speaking of the Marlins, what the hell happened yesterday? What's going on with the Marlins, Appel? Yesterday they lose to the Cardinals 8-3. They went 3-8 on their 11 game road trip. They come back, they get three runs early, and then apparently, like, just crazy. I didn't watch the game. Crazy sloppy game. I was reading in fishonfirst.com from Kevin Barral, who covers the team. Yuri threw four wild pitches. There were two errors on the field. I saw Dane Meyers drop a foul ball in right field.
It was a fair ball.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I meant fair ball. Just embarrassing. Like, just absolutely embarrassing. It should have been a routine play. There was a pass ball at the end as well that led to a run. What the hell happened?
The wheels have fallen off a little bit.
So are they done? Are the Marlins done? Are they
for these Miami Marlins? Well, you know what's funny is they had that awful road trip, and they came back home last night, I believe right around the same amount of games back as they were when they left on the road trip because the Mets have been so terrible, which makes it all the more frustrating, right? Like game one against the Red Sox, Sandy Alcantara pitches phenomenally well. It's 1-1 going into the ninth inning, and Josh Simpson comes into the game in the ninth inning, and it goes how you would expect it to go. Josh Simpson in a tie game, high leverage in Fenway Park. They had their closer, Ronnie Enriquez, warming up. He didn't come in, and that was kind of a theme of how Clayton McCullough had managed the bullpen up until the end of the road trip. There were games there to be won. They had multiple run leads in a few of those games. There were a lot of close games late that it almost felt like they punted on, given who they went to out of the bullpen. Kyle Stowers also cooled off a little bit, and now he's hurt. He's on the IL with an oblique strain. Yuri last night didn't look like the Yuri that we've seen in prior starts, wasn't as sharp. Augustin Ramirez, who has been awesome for the Marlins at the plate, is really struggling as a catcher. I can only wonder how much longer that actually is going to continue, how much longer they're going to try and force that to be his position, because it doesn't really seem like there's a lot of progress being made there. I just think that there are a lot of things happening negatively all at the same time, except for Xavier Edwards now leads the league in batting, and Jacob Marcy remains his stretch of playing like Mickey Mantle and Barry Bonds as one player.
Yeah, I was telling Hawk, we messed up with Mervis Militia. I mean, love to Matt Mervis always, but Marcy Militia, I mean, we could be on top of the effing world right now with Marcy Militia.
Really good.
And instead, we hitched our wagon to a guy that got DFA'd, then cut completely, and is now on a team. Appel, we're following I'm following the Reno Aces because
been in the lineup since the first game.
They've lost. Well, he's been in the lineup one time, the first game. Hasn't been in the lineup since. He pinch hit the other day, went 0-2. The Reno Aces have lost 10 consecutive games. They got swept by the Chihuahuas, who I forget where they're from now.
El Paso. I think.
El Paso, yeah. They've lost 10 consecutive games. And that's who I'm following. I'm following the Reno Aces now religiously. 10 consecutive games.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that kind of feels like how the Marlins have been going lately, too. This all has to be viewed, though, with the perspective of it is August 19th. The Dolphins are going into their third preseason game. Their season starts in about 2 weeks, and here we are still talking about the Marlins, both positive reasons and some negative ones, but I think that this season has gone
way better.
Yeah, but
when you say, and look, I get what you're saying. I'm with you. Nobody thought the Marlins would even be in a position. We've said this a million times. Nobody thought the Marlins would be in a position where at the deadline, we're like, huh, this is interesting. Nobody did. And they deserve credit for that. But I mean, we're talking about them now because they're on the down slope. Like, we're not talking about them because they're interesting anymore. Now we're talking 100%. About them because of the other thing, the complete opposite, which is they're not interesting anymore.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Right, but again, there are a lot of reasons for that. Like their best hitter, Kyle Stowers, on the IL. And I know he played for a good bit of the road trip, but it was clear like something was off with him, and he has that oblique injury. You finally think Sandy's starting to turn the corner. Things go awry. He bounces back in Boston, and yet they still lose that game. It's obvious they've overachieved to this point, but they're not the worst team that's ever been assembled. And I think that the frustrating part for me is, like, if they're going on the road and they're just getting flat out beat by teams that are better than them and not because the things they were doing well, they're no longer doing well. Like, I can live with that. But this last stretch has been filled with so many self-inflicted errors, literally, and just head-scratching decisions that I got legitimately like frustrated at a few of these losses. Like, losses happen. You're not going to win all 162. Breaking news.
So you want to? Are you going to call for Clayton McCullough's job? Can I put you on the spot?
I see this stuff with people on Twitter already. Oh well, I said it even at the beginning of the year, and they were winning despite that.
Come on, hey, give me a take, Appel. Call for McCullough's job. Come on, give me a take.
Here's my.
Come
take.
On.
He's not going anywhere. And the people who are calling for him to get fired on social media don't know what they're talking about. There's my take.
All right. I would have preferred you for call for his job just because it would have been more fun. But I think that's a much more rational position that you took.
I'm not a shock jock, okay?
I respect
you. You want shock jock? You get Hawk back in here. You get Crowder back in here. Maybe they'll give you what you want. I know Hawk can get behind that because of the whole shadow banning, which, pause for a second. The Reno Aces might actually be shadow banning Matt Mervis. Like, that actually might be the case.
I think they are. If we really dig deep, I think they might. Hawk actually might have been totally right about this from the very beginning, which is insane. I think they are shadow banning Matt Mervis. It's crazy. Why would they sign him if they're not going to play him? They've lost 10 straight. Like, why wouldn't they just be playing him? It doesn't make any sense.
It was a bit when he was with the Jumbo Shrimp and with the Marlins, because he was actually playing when he was down here. Now, this might actually be a shadow banning.
By the way, the last time Hawk called for a head coach's job, the Panthers made the Stanley Cup final 3 straight years and won 2.
Well, this is why you guys should trust me, because I was on the Paul Maurice train from the beginning, and I said, hey.
You were.
They're learning a new system. They're trying it. It looks a lot better than the results are. You just got to stick it out sometimes.
You were. Let's do headlines because the Marlins who play tonight. Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Did anybody else watch Joe Burrow running for his life last night on preseason Monday Night Football.
Ooh, tough, tough look. I saw one of their offensive linemen kind of put his hands up, like, all right, like it's time.
Hell,
Joe. Like,
what
just
the
go
hell
now.
Is Joe Burrow doing, man? Like, there was a play, I think it was late first quarter, where he scrambles, avoids a sack, runs 20 yards backwards to the goal line, tries to avoid three different 300-pound dudes coming for his neck, and then he gets laid out. And I'm thinking, are you effing kidding me, Joe Burrow? Like, what are you doing, dummy? Get out of here. Why are you playing late first quarter anyways? And why are you running around in the backfield next to your goal line 20 yards from the line of scrimmage and not throwing the ball away? He got laid out by three guys, three D linemen coming for his head. Joe Burrow, figure it out, dummy. Figure it out. What are you doing?
You know, it's so funny because if he had gotten hurt on that play, more people would blame Zach Taylor than would blame Joe Burrow. Brother, it's just the preseason. Throw it away or go down. Like, it's not worth it.
It is funny, though, because, you know, I'm clowning on Joe Burrow. And then Jaden Daniels runs right down the middle of the field for a touchdown, takes a hit. And after the game, I don't know who it was. I forget who the sideline reporter was. They're like, why didn't you go down? He's like, I wanted to score. And I'm like, oh, I love that. Give me more of that. It's such a double standard I have. One dude got into the end zone. You love it. The other guy gets sacked 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and I'm just calling him an absolute moron.
I mean, there's two pretty clear differences between Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels. There's something else at play here with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Dolphins, by the way, agreed to a one-year deal with Matthew Judon. $6 million for 1 year. $6 million was the final digits from the deal yesterday.
I was a little confused at it at first, but the Dolphins have apparently had interest in Matthew Judon in years past, and we've talked about it on this show, especially with that 2023 team when the Dolphins, and I think Joe Rose brought this point up as well, that you're running out there with Bruce Irvin and Melvin Ingram in a playoff game. You can never have too much depth at pass rush, and I think it's a wonderful compliment to the guys they already have. And, like, can you imagine a package where Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, Matthew Judon, Chop Robinson, and Zach Sealer are all on the field at once? Good luck.
We were saying yesterday, let Minka run around in the backfield by himself, rush 10. That should be the Anthony Weaver defense. I'm with you, by the way, because yesterday Crowder was talking about, you know, why can't you sign Matthew Judon and upgrade the cornerback room? And a lot of people were texting in that it didn't make sense to sign Matthew Judon, and I'm just not understanding that. The Dolphins got somebody who isn't going to, like, expectations aren't through the roof. He's just there to add extra depth, and he's a former Pro Bowler. This isn't, to me, the same thing as, like, signing Darren Waller, where you're trying to fill the shoes of Jonnu Smith last season with an aging veteran who, you know, didn't play last year in the case of Darren Waller. This isn't that. Like, he's not being asked to come in and have 12.5 sacks again this year. Right. Like, he's not. But at the same time, I like having extra depth there. As great as our front seven is, anybody else remember the last time you saw Bradley Chubb? What happened? The last time you saw Jalen Phillips? What happened? Like, they got hurt. You needed other guys to come in. And now the Dolphins aren't waiting. Like, they're getting ahead of it and they're bringing guys in now. I like it. I really like the move.
And this doesn't preclude them from making a move.
Right, right. That was Crowder's point yesterday. He was saying they can do both. By the way, speaking of that, I should bring up the Asante Samuel news. So there was a tweet. Let me pull it up here. There was a tweet from a Dolphins podcast. Do I have that right? Bobby Schaus, who he is a co-host of the Dive Bar Pod, and they actually do really good work. I've watched some of their pods, and it's entertaining stuff. He tweeted out that Asante Samuel Jr. is visiting the Dolphins today, per source. Miami could be adding some much-needed cornerback help. So obviously everybody on Dolphins Twitter gets hyped up. And Barry Jackson, he tweeted out, he kind of threw a little water on that flame. He said, Dolphins...
What kind of water? Cold water, usually.
Cold water, thank you. Dolphins kept in touch with Asante Samuel Jr.'s camp as due diligence, as we've reported since mid-May. Samuel Jr. has interest, but there has been no visit by Samuel to the Dolphins headquarters, and he's not there today and not scheduled for a visit. Agent declined to say if he has medical clearance after neck injury. So,
to me, that still leaves the door open for something to be scheduled. And if this eventually does happen, I would not be surprised. There was a bit of talk about this potentially happening while I was at practice today, but this was pretty obviously based on some of those rumors online. I wouldn't be surprised if they add him in the coming days. I mean, look, this is the last preseason game. Teams are going to make a ton of cuts and a ton of roster moves after this weekend. You might see the Dolphins waiting to see who is let go by other teams and then maybe kick the tires on somebody that's currently a free agent. I'm not sure. I think just given what they have, Asante Samuel, if he's healthy, would be a decent piece given what they currently have there. But health, I mean, I'm pretty sure he had a neck injury, like a pretty serious neck injury.
No, he did. It's not something like that. Like a really serious neck injury. And then the other element to this was that Asante Samuel Sr. quote tweeted that original tweet and was like, what do you say? Like, let's go or something like that. Like along the lines of like, let's go. This is happening. So obviously everybody was like, oh, all right. But Barry Jackson, somebody said, why did his dad, they tweeted Barry Jackson, why did his dad retweet the post that said he was visiting? And Barry Jackson responds, they aren't close. It has been reported. So, I don't
Barry
know.
Jackson, he's got a ton of cold water on him today. Jeez. Baz, come on, bud.
He's coming with the actual sources, man.
But
coming
so,
with the actual
you know,
sources.
It's funny because I remember a month or so ago when this was a topic of conversation and we were looking around to see who were the available free agents at quarterback, Asante Samuel Sr. said some very unflattering things.
He ripped the Dolphins. He ripped them.
Yeah. Ripped the Dolphins, ripped Mike McDaniel. So then I was like, well, I mean, there goes Asante Samuel Jr. and the prospects of him signing with the Dolphins if he's healthy. But if Baz Jackson is correct and those reports are right about Asante Sr. and Asante Jr.'s relationship, maybe there could be something to be done here. And who knows if there have been some things that were settled on the other side of that as well.
Listen, man. I'm not doubting Barry Jackson. If anybody wants
I
to
would
do
never,
that, yeah, yeah, you
I can, would never doubt
that. You
can
be
Jackson.
On that hill by yourself, but I'm not doing that.
He just has a lot of cold water today.
Understood. Let's take a break. On the other side, Wes Goldberg. We're late for a break, actually. I just looked at the clock. Wes Goldberg from the Locked On Heat podcast is going to join us. A lot of Heat fans are throwing cold water on trading Haywood Highsmith, signing Drew Smith. We'll get Wes's take on the other side. You're listening to Hockman, Crowder, and Solana. Hawk and Crowder are off. It's Appel, it's Solana, it's Jimmy until 6.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Is there any possibility that Billy the Marlin is a bird?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Really, Jimmy? Seven Nation Army? Really? What, are we getting ready for Heat Pacers in 2013? Come on. What are we doing here? Get rid of this nonsense. Get out of here. We're going to talk some Miami Heat here, if you couldn't tell. Welcome back to the Hockman, Crowder, and Solana show. Excited to have Wes Goldberg on. He joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Appel's very jealous of Wes's lettuce. Just
it's the first thing I said to him. It's our first time meeting.
Unbelievable set of lettuce from Wes. He covers the Miami Heat for the Locked On Heat podcast. I always recommend following the work that Wes and his co-host David Ramildu on Locked On Heat all year long, especially during the season, but really all year long. Wes also is a host on Real GM Radio, covers the NBA. Wes, I'm just going to throw this out there because it appears to be the topic of the day in Heatland. We take a quick detour from Dolphins to the Miami Heat. Apparently, Ethan Skolnick from Five Reasons Sports reported that the Heat are looking to trade Terry Rozier like any way possible, but it's not necessarily a secret, is it? Like that the Heat are trying to move Terry Rozier. It's not going to happen, is it? Like, do you realistically see a team just saying, all right, fine, we'll take Terry from you?
No, not right now. And, you know, I nothing against what Ethan reported there, but it is a little bit of like a, yeah, you know, that they've been trying to do it. Now, it isn't by, just to clarify, and I didn't necessarily read exactly what Ethan wrote or listen to like the word for word what he said, but just to clarify some things on that in case there's any confusion, it isn't by any means possible, because by any means possible would mean that they would attach an asset to Terry Rozier.
Right.
And they have had opportunities this summer to attach an asset to Terry Rozier to get off of him and haven't done it. So they're not going to do that because Terry's contract comes off the books after this season. So to attach another asset to a guy who you used a first round pick to acquire in the first place, which now looks like a bad trade in hindsight, they're just not going to sink more money into this thing, basically, right? Like this is done. So if the worst thing is that Terry Rozier just is out of the lineup and then comes off your books next summer, okay. Like you can still walk away clean with all the cap space that you need. They don't want to attach any other assets to get off of Terry Rozier because that's going to take a lot more than that sort of that second round pick that they needed to get off of Haywood Highsmith.
Right.
It's going to take a lot more than that to attach to Rozier's $26 million going out.
I wanted to talk about that, obviously. I did just want to specify, I'm not criticizing Ethan Skolnick for that report.
Yeah, I know.
And the quote was, they're willing to trade Terry Rozier for, quote, just about anything.
Right.
I think Ethan, you know, he has his sources. He's usually right about this type of stuff. I just think it's funny that it became the topic of the day because, like, Ethan probably was just – I didn't hear it either, but he was probably just having a conversation on their pod, and, like, it became news because it's Terry Rozier. He's such a punching bag right now. That shouldn't be, like, a trending topic that Miami is looking to move on from a guy – who probably had the worst season in a Heat jersey last year in a very, very long time and was under in federal investigation for gambling. Like it shouldn't be a massive surprise to anybody that Miami would be willing to move on from him.
It would have been really surprising if it was like the Heat are trying to move on from Bam Adebayo by any means. Right, they'd trade him. I'm like, oh, wow, now that's surprising. That's news now. It's like, okay, yeah, we know that they – aren't exactly thrilled with Terry Rozier. And by the way, like after re-signing Drew Smith, this is even more prevalent here because where does Terry Rozier even get minutes, right? He can maybe earn something in training camp and in preseason or whatever, but I do think it's an open question to figure out where Rozier stands. Now, one thing that we talked about on Locked On Heat yesterday was, could you just waive Terry Rozier? Because his contract is mostly guaranteed. All but $1.7 million of it. If they were to waive Terry, they would actually create enough space under the luxury tax, which they just got under by trading Haywood Highsmith, even after re-signing Drew Smith. They would create enough money under the tax to sign another player and still remain under the tax. It'd be about $3.5 million, which is enough for a veteran minimum. Now, right now, they would have to wait until mid-season to sign a minimum player to a prorated contract if they wanted to add another player. So that's a conversation that we're having also is, hey, do you just waive Terry Rozier? But I also think that there is some value in keeping Terry Rozier as much as Heat fans might not want to hear it because, again, that contract is expiring. And by the trade deadline in January, February, when maybe there's a superstar who decides, you know what, I don't want to be where I'm at right now, the Heat could potentially use Rozier's $27 million contract as a ladder to get up to matching salary.
Right.
And for any team that's in a trading away a superstar, then Rozier's contract becomes a lot more enticing because you only have to deal with it for 2 months and then it comes off your books and you walk away and you start your rebuild.
Wes, I'm curious, you know, there was so much turbulence with the Heat last year just through the Jimmy Butler saga, and there's no doubt that that affected the team's performance over the course of the season. You know, they finished 8 games under .500 back in the play-in round. And I know this is a generic question, but now that they move past that and it's almost like a clean slate that they get to start next season with, where should the expectations be for this team?
So Vegas has it pinned at 38.5 wins.
That's crazy.
I think it's a gross underestimation.
That's crazy.
Is that a word? Underestimation?
It sounds good to me. That works on this show. That works on this show, man.
That's great. Keep making up words. I think maybe the losing, not necessarily getting rid of Jimmy Butler, but getting rid of the Jimmy Butler situation mm-hmm. might be the most underrated addition or subtraction in the NBA all offseason, right? Because even after they did the trade in February, they were still just reeling from all of that drama. And I don't even think the Heat really fully understood how traumatic, and traumatic being used in sports terms, but how traumatic that whole experience was for that locker room and everything. And as reporters and stuff, we could see it. We could see it taking its toll in the locker room while it was happening from December on to the him actually getting traded. Like, it was, you could feel it in that locker room. But even us and even the players couldn't really understand and comprehend just how traumatic that event was. That team just needed, like, therapy. That team needed to touch grass after the end of the season. They needed to get away. Bam needed to go to Greece. You know, all these people had, everybody had to get away and do their things that they needed to do in order to just come back a little bit more refreshed and put all of that fully behind them. Because even in the moment when it was happening, they're still being asked about it. What it's like without Jimmy Butler now, all these things. They're still trying to figure out what is the post-Jimmy Butler team. We're trying to build this plane in the middle of the air now. I think it's a huge factor in what's going to happen for the Heat this season. It's really the first time we'll see what this looks like post-Jimmy.
I'm with you 100%. I think it was outside of Miami, but even here with some of the fans, it was downplayed a little bit, like how much of a distraction that really was. Still mm-hmm. no excuse blowing 20-point leads to Charlotte in that 10-game losing streak. Like I still won't forgive that team for that. But
no, it's like when you need therapy, right? You just start lashing out on people around you. You're like, whoa, where did that come from? Why are you screaming about me? Guy dropped a plate or something. It's just like, that's what happens. It's like, wait, where did that come from? You just blew 20 points to Charlotte. Like, why did you do that? And they're like, well, I'm sad. That's why. That's why it happened.
Those fourth quarters, Wes, like, just looking back to Chicago and then Charlotte, I think, back-to-back games, they're just mind-numbingly miserable. Like, those fourth quarters, yep. watching them blow those leads, mind-numbingly miserable. Before I let you go, though, because we could talk about last season ad nauseum, what were your biggest takeaways from the Haywood-Highsmith trade and then signing Drew Smith? I know there's a lot of Heat fans were kind of frustrated, not so much that they traded H, but the timing of it all and attaching a second-round pick as well. And then signing Drew Smith later on, there's like a faction of Heat Nation that kind of just feels like this is somebody that only Eric Spoelstra feels has upside and nobody else does. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I understand the injury history complicates things, but what were your biggest takeaways from these two recent moves?
There's so much to get into. Like, there's so much meat on this bone here, but just to keep it top level, I suppose it's, you know, I understand it from the Heat's perspective. Their priority was to get under the luxury tax, and there are actual team building ramifications to that. You guys know this, but if people are wondering, why should I care about Mickey Arison's money, right? You hear that from fans all the time. It's, well, you shouldn't, number one. And number two, you know, this actually has team building ramifications. Had they had to be, if they were in the luxury tax again this year, they would have triggered a repeater tax, which would have just had a bunch of team building constraints. You go look up the new CBA and you can kind of figure out all that boring stuff. But it was important from a team building perspective to avoid the tax this season. So they do that, and they reset the clock on the repeater tax. That is a hugely important thing, right? And we're seeing that across the NBA, teams just trading away good players. And this was the first instance in a very long time that Miami got worse in order to reduce payroll. That's not something the Heat usually do, but you're seeing it across the league now because of this new CBA. Boston is reducing payroll. Go look at teams. Like, they are all taking step backs, doing the calculus. Hey, is this enough of a step back that it's worth the money that we're going to save? Are we going to take too much of a step back just to save this amount of money? That's a new thing that front offices have to deal with. And so that's what Miami decided. They said, okay, we could either have Haywood-Highsmith and be over the luxury tax, or and keep this second round pick, or we can get rid of Haywood-Highsmith, get rid of the second round pick, get under the luxury tax, and then bring in Drew Smith. And those were the two things that they had as options. They had to get under the tax. Brooklyn was putting pressure on them in order to make that trade, because they're the only team with cap space. Miami took no salary back in that Haywood deal. So, you know, that cap space is leverage that Brooklyn had. No other team hasn't $5.5 million in order to just absorb Haywood-Highsmith and help Miami out and create the space necessary to fill out the rest of their roster. Drew Smith or otherwise, had they traded Haywood-Highsmith, they would only have 13 players on a contract. They would have had to add another player. So, you know, Brooklyn had all the leverage in that situation. Let's also remember, Haywood just tore his MCL. So you're like, oh, you re-signed Drew Smith, who was on a torn MCL. Well, or a torn Achilles. Haywood was coming off of an injury too. So Miami basically had no leverage. They saw an out and they jumped in it. They jumped to it. And anybody who had a people who criticized Miami for making that move and trading Haywood Highsmith, understanding that the priority was to get under the luxury tax, I have yet to hear another realistic way for Miami to avoid the luxury tax. And all it costs them, and I hate saying this because I love Haywood Highsmith and he was a very important player on this team, but it costs you not a fringe rotation guy, but not necessarily a star player on your team, and a second round pick. And you were able to avoid the tax. And you were able to bring back Drew Smith. Net-net, it's not a terrible piece of business for Miami, and they still have now flexibility to do some other things.
I don't think I've ever seen Solana more sullen than when the trade for H was announced last week. It was a really tough time for him. So
well, Duncan,
at least now he's got...
Duncan's gone. Strus is gone. Gabe Vincent's gone. Haywood Highsmith is gone.
Caleb.
I think Caleb's gone. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, from the 2023... Eastern Conference champion team that went to the NBA Finals. The only three players still here are Nikola Jovic, Tyler Hero, and Bam Adebayo. Do I have that? Maybe I'm missing somebody. Was Drew Smith on that team? Like, that's it. That's crazy. Yep.
You lost all of those players for essentially nothing, right? You weren't able to get anything from Duncan. You were able to get it. I think you got a second round pick from Cleveland in the Max Strus sign and trade. That's it for all of those guys. Now, you know, I've argued that the Heat should have explored trading Caleb Martin before his free agency, and you should have explored doing a few of these other things. Now, Strus and Gabe Vincent were a little bit different because they kind of popped and then they were free agents, you know, and so that was a little bit of a tougher move there. But it's a tough look for a Heat team that kind of created these players out of nothing and turned them into assets and then lost all of them for nothing. On the same side, it's not as if Miami was unable to trade those guys before the trade deadlines or whatever it is, but they decided at the time, I remember even reporting on this at the time, they decided, you know what, instead of trading, for instance, Caleb Martin in February, we'd rather just ride this thing out and see what happens.
Right.
And you could debate that was, you know, a mistake, and it looks like a mistake in hindsight because they got swept by the Celtics or whatever, five-game series against the Celtics later that year. But they always decided, you know what, we're gonna chase that chance at another playoff run like 2023. And if Miami's at fault for anything, if this front office is at fault for anything, I think during the Jimmy Butler era is thinking that 2023 playoff run was more representative of the group than the 500-ish seasons.
Right.
That were most of that experience.
I will say
it was
though,
like a different version of that 30-11, 11 right. and 30 season.
Right. Except exactly. you ended up in the NBA Finals. I will say though, right. Wes, Jimmy Butler doesn't get taken out by Kelly Oubre that following season. Who knows? It's just funny how fans, and I get it, man. Like, you play the result, it's what we do. Hey, you're the front office, we play the result. Like, that's just the way this industry works, whether it's right or wrong. But it's funny how we speak in like these blanket ultimatums. We're like, well, that team sucked. They lost in five. Not you. I'm just saying in general, the fan base. That team sucked. They lost in five. They should have known. They should have traded Caleb Martin. And it's like, if Kelly Oubre doesn't take out Jimmy Butler, do you really think that the Miami Heat lose that game to Philly? Because I don't. I think they win that game. And then they play the Knicks in the first round. Who knows? Right? Like, who knows? There could be another Eastern Conference Finals matchup between Miami and Boston after that season as well. Again, it like
and the other side of that too. I mean, you trade Caleb Martin in the middle of that season. You're like, what? So you're just giving up on this season? Look what we just did in 2023. So, like, it's easy to your point to just sit here and be like, you got nothing for all these guys. But when you take each instance in its own sort of individual case, then it's like, okay, well, that actually does make a little bit of sense. And you know, they traded Duncan Robinson. They signed and traded him. They did get Simone Fontecchio. So it's not as if they got nothing back for him. We can see what Fontecchio ends up being, but you know, each individual case is its own thing. And at the end of the day, those players meant a lot for the Heat. They developed them. They established themselves as the number one development program in the league. And you still hear, even in Vegas, man, like this summer, why did you join Miami? Why did you decide to be on the Heat and do your summer league with the Heat? They said, look at what they've done with all these other guys. That experience of developing those guys still paying dividends for this team in terms of getting some of the top undrafted players.
Wes Goldberg, I really tell everybody every time he comes on to subscribe to the Locked On Heat podcast, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. And again, listen to Wes on Real GM Radio as well. I appreciate you, And I'm sure we'll talk more as the season approaches. We're a month away, man. It's crazy, but we're like a month and a half away.
It's crazy. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Wes Goldberg from Locked On Heat. We're late again, so we'll take a break. We'll get back on the clock in the 4 o'clock hour. Probably not. We'll get back on the clock in the 4 o'clock hour. Appel, Solana, Jimmy right here on the Hockman, Crowder, and Solana show.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Khalil?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.